got to know when to hold 'em, know when to fold 'em, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday morning. Ascension Technologies text line 251-343-0106. Text me. Maybe I will have time before the conclusion of today's broadcast to discuss whatever it is that's on your mind, be it Natalie Holloway or whatever. The Admiral Sim statue apparently is where our discussion has gone this morning. But anyway, enough of that. Joining us on the line now, it is that time of the week. We introduce our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I am great. Great to be here in South Alabama, coastal Alabama, and it has been a big week here along the coast for sure.
Well, with that kind of tease, why don't you tell us what's going on here?
Well, we had about 35, 40 legislators from all around the state down at the Gulf State Lodge for a big tourism summit that was put on by Gumbo to talk about tourism incentives and that legislation, and really just what Baldwin County does and contributes to the rest of the state to try to show my legislative colleagues, empirically, just what a big deal Baldwin County is, especially as it relates to tourism. And then, of course, we had the big groundbreaking just the other day in Mobile. I guess it was Wednesday in Mobile for yet another final assembly line at Airbus, which is just huge for coastal Alabama. That's a project that's obviously been around for a long time. I'm fortunate to have watched that from my county commission days to my Senate days and have been supportive of them and what they're doing for a long time. But to have, Mobile, Alabama, in coastal Alabama, right behind Hamburg and Toulouse, is one of the major manufacturing facilities in the entire state, is just huge.
Well, that's good to hear. Let me go to something else real quick, and I don't know where you were on this, and I know this is sort of a Birmingham thing, but this Birmingham Southern College and what Young Boozer's done, the way he's handling that, do you feel like that's the way that is he defying the spirit of the legislature, or is he handling this situation appropriately?
Well, first of all, it is still very much a local issue for me and my constituents, many of whom have children that attend Birmingham Southern and are obviously very interested and concerned about its future, to say nothing of the alumna that are in the area that are very concerned about the college and it's, what's going to happen to it. So I think that's true for every legislator across the state. Now, as it pertains to the state treasurer, I think he is following the law exactly as we passed it. I think we've appropriated the money. There was really no pretense that it was for Birmingham Southern. Anybody that tells you otherwise isn't shooting you straight. But we also really empowered the state treasurer to look at the financial health of Birmingham Southern and make sure that if the state was to put the money that was appropriated into that to that college, that there was that it was going to help, that it was going to do what it needed to do, and that the taxpayers were in a good position when it came to recourse, right? But it appears that it wouldn't be, that the bank that currently holds essentially the first mortgage on all of Birmingham Southern's assets is not moving out of that position. You can't really blame them for that. And that the financial situation and the value of the assets of the college are just less than maybe what was advertised to begin with. And so I think the state treasurer is doing exactly what the legislature asked him to do. Now, not to hedge here, but I will say this. We do need to go back and look and say, is it worth just giving money to Birmingham Southern to keep it running? The legislature needs to answer that question. We put all these conditions on it. It's not meeting the conditions. I think we owe it another look to say, do we just say, hey, this is worth the risk to try to keep it open or not? I don't know what that answer will be, but I do think it's worth it for the college and for the kids that are going there now to look at that, especially when you think, hey, we gave a bunch of money to a water park, right? We give some money to some crazy things, especially when we've got it laying around and it's ARPA money or it's federal government money or whatever. We give some money to some crazy things. Is Birmingham Southern really that crazy in the scheme of things?
Would the state ever consider just taking it over like they did Athens State back in the, what, 80s or whatever?
Yeah, I think that's probably unlikely, mainly for that reason, right? I don't think the state wants to do that again. And so I think the answer to that is no. And I don't think that's what the college wants. I think it's clear the college and its past leadership made some bad decisions. They're seeing the repercussions of those decisions. Call this exactly what it is, a government bailout, because that's what it would be of a private institution. But I do think it is, given some of the other crazy things the state's given money to, let's just have that conversation and say yes or no. Are we just going to give it away? It's like loaning money to a relative, right? You may not ever see it back again. And with that understanding, or do we say, no, we're going to have a hard line on this and say, we're not bailing out this private institution. It's not worth it to us. And that's something I think the legislature should revisit and frankly will revisit just because of the phone calls, the constituents, and frankly what this place means to Jefferson County. I think it's going to be an issue.
And what it means to the state. I mean, like, it's interesting to watch to me. Is it even worth saving? What is it contributing back to the state? They say it has an economic impact, but I think those numbers are very, very dubious, you know. But it's just, should this, we clearly in this, Senator, in this country right now have a higher education bubble. Is this just kind of the beginning of it bursting?
That's a fair point, and you will hear the higher education folks tell you that they are seeing a huge reduction in applications. We have seen a reduction in birth rate in the country, and that just means less kids going to college. And so all of these institutions, you know, were stressed by COVID. And they will likely continue to be stressed just by, you know, the math and the birth rate and the rate of folks going to college in the future. And this just may be market forces. There are winners and losers and people that have made bad business decisions, which is exactly what I think Birmingham Southern has done, may be victims of that. But I do think it is at least worth another look and another conversation. If the answer is no, that's fine. But I do think it's worth, and I do think we will have that conversation at least one more time.
Well, to be continued. Next thing I want to ask you about, and I don't know how much you want to talk about it, but, and Montgomery's like high school sometimes, majority of Schofield, apparently, and what I'm being told by a lot of people, this is a done deal, but he's not really commenting on it. He's about to vacate his post to go work for the Business Council of Alabama. How much, I mean, and Clyde Chambliss has even publicly come out and said that he's interested in being majority leader. What do you make of this situation? What are you hearing?
Well, of course, I've heard the same rumors that everybody else has, and I think it's clear that this is a possibility, although it has not happened yet. So there isn't a vacancy right now, either in Senator Schofield's seat in the Senate or in his leadership post as majority leader. But there are certainly rumblings and certainly some politicking going on behind the scenes as to who may be the next majority leader should that occur. You know, the caucus has 27 members. They are the only ones, obviously, to get to vote. If the majority leader resigns his seat, you'll have 26 members that have an opportunity to vote. So, a mere 14 is a majority in that case. But it's important to note we haven't had a contested majority leader race really in recent history in the Senate, the last several quadrenniums. And so this is an anomaly in that I do believe you're going to see a contested majority leader race really for the first time in a long time. And I think that's healthy.
Well, it's just, I guess, by nature of it happening so fast, because the last go around, when Del Mar stepped down and he took that last year or whatever, and Greg Reed, was almost like a coronation. It just sort of happened, and there wasn't any, I mean, there was some leaks about a controversy coming out of it, but nothing really, really, really made like big headlines. And it just seemed to like happen. I don't even like before that, my memory doesn't go back before that, but that does seem like, we're going to have this. Do you Do you see this being something contentious like what we're seeing in Washington, or do you think you guys will just kind of ultimately figure it out without much hoopla?
I think we will figure this out without a whole lot of controversy. I mean, the Senate is still a very calm, deliberative body. There are certainly, I think, two really kind of groups in the Senate right now. I think it's fair to characterize, the slow and steady and pensive, and there are a lot of folks that think that's exactly what the Senate needs to do. Let's not push too hard. Let's not flex too much. And then there are others of us, and I'll go ahead and throw myself in the other category, that push a little bit harder, that are a little bit more aggressive, a little bit more assertive, and want to push, want to challenge, want to do more. And I think, there's a camp there too. So we'll have to see what the will of the body is here coming up. But as far as controversy, I mean, it's going to be a majority vote, and then I think everybody's coming right back together to do the work of the people. I did not, to answer your question, envision that we will see what's going on in the U.S. House of Representatives and the Alabama Senate. I think this process may take all of 20 minutes to decide.
Joined by State Senator Chris Elliott, our returning champion here on the program. Tell me this, Senator, it looks like the holds on the Yaldot project's about to lapse here. Any resolution on the West Alabama corridor? They had a big press gathering in Tuscaloosa the other day, I saw, but beyond that, we still don't know how much this is going to cost, do we?
No, we have no idea how much it's going to cost, and we have no idea what the budget number is for it. The holds will expire on Monday, and I fully expect that the governor will, get in the office early that morning in order to execute this contract. And that doesn't surprise me either. One thing I have told my colleagues in West Alabama, and almost to a person, the members that were assembled at that press conference yesterday, was, guys, nobody's opposed to your project. As a matter of fact, I think everyone would like to see the West Alabama corridor done. What folks have problems with is the fact that this administration is proposing spending probably $1.5 billion in one place in all state funding. You have no federal funding for this project. The State Department of Transportation and this administration have not asked for a penny of federal funding. And most importantly, they have not permitted this project using FHWA permitting process, which means even if it showed up in a dump truck, they couldn't use it on the project. And that is not smart to not leverage the state taxpayer money to get more federal money. And it is not smart for the long-term health and success of this project to not foresee that some members of the legislature and future administrations are cool to using all of this state money all in one spot and look at the opportunity cost around the state of not being able to do other projects. It will cause problems for the long-term health of this project if they continue without any federal funding, continue without seeking federal funding, and continue without federal permitting.
Well, this is kind of fascinating to watch because I'm still, it's just this oblivious nature of this administration. Like, who really wants this project other than the people that are like directly in the path of it? It doesn't seem what we're told. It's like we're being told that it's good for us and we just need to accept it.
Well, and my answer to that is fine. Can we all agree that this is a great project? And if we all agree that this is a great project, then we all agree that it needs to be done, then let's work towards a long-term financial plan that is sustainable and that'll actually get the project done. But what they're doing right now is setting this project up for failure. And that's a shame. It's a shame for all those that are so excited about this. Because it's a fallacy that this is going to be something where you spend $1.5 billion of state dollars in one spot like that. We're not spending $1.5 billion on I-65. We're not spending $1.5 billion on I-10. We're not spending $1.5 billion in all state money anywhere. It's got federal money mixed in with it. And to say that this is what we're going to do and how we're going to spend it is – it's just set up for failure, and I'm afraid all these folks are going to be disappointed because they think something's coming, but it's a house of cards.
Now, we spent a lot of time talking about the 65 project. I thought, let's talk I-10 Bayway and Mobile River Bridge. I think the numbers they were using there are very, very, I don't know, a little fast and loose, a little rosy, the projections of what the costs are going to be. Might something like this, if you obligate a bunch of money to this West Alabama corridor, what impact might that have on other projects, including I-10?
It could have huge impacts. I mean, that's part of the problem with having a budget at all, is what piece of this rebuild pie, or at least the bondable portion of it, are we dedicating to the West Alabama corridor? And if we dedicate such a large piece of it to one project, does that put all of the other projects in jeopardy? And I think that the answer to that is, of course it does. There's only so much money to go around. And those folks that say, hey, this doesn't need to be a competition, let's do both, we all well and good, but the revenue is finite. It's more than it's been in the past. And yes, we can borrow against some of it, but the revenue is finite, and you've got to look at it in totality. And when you do that, you realize all of these things are not possible. We can't have both or all of the above. And so, unfortunately, I think when the rubber meets the road, if you'll forget the pun, the reality is going to set in. The tough choices are going to have to be made. The problem is that will be well after this governor has made promises that really aren't able to be kept, no matter how well-meaning she is.
But and last question, specifically I-10, with all of these prognostications, and I don't know where that is, but I know that if the these construction projects, the prison and West Alabama have all gone up exponentially, then this very important project, I would assume, has gone up as well. We start allocating resources to other things, including West Alabama. Are they going to be able to pull this all of this off at the same time? And I guess personally very skeptical of that.
Yeah, the more promises, you know, this administration and how that makes to do these huge projects around the state, the less likely that any one of them is going to come to fruition. Again, money's finite. The budgets aren't endless. And so those, you know, the answer to that question is it does cause a problem. And to those that lament, oh, this is important for West Alabama, it's not, you know, it hasn't seen any investment, and oh, you're getting an I-10 bridge, you know, let's be clear about something. The ALDOT investment, the state investment in the I-10 bridge is about 1/6 of the total project cost. Okay, it's about $500 million out of a $3 billion project. Remember, Jeff, the vast majority of the funding for that project is coming from tolls on the residents and the visitors to South Alabama, and certainly not what is the case in West Alabama.
Senator, got to leave it there, but you've been very kind to make time for us, and we will do this again next week.
Thanks so much for having me. Enjoy this beautiful weather.
State Senator Chris Elliott there, our returning champion. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. See